Hey friends, welcome to Let's Be Clear. I am Clear Cherry Reeves, and this is a podcast where we get clear, pun intended, about how to find a kingdom perspective in all things. No, really, all things. Whether it be about pursuing your dreams, finding hope in hardship, or just talking about Jesus, we will get raw and honest. I believe it will encourage you. Now, let's dig in. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Let's Be Clear. I hope you're having the best start to your week. These episodes release on Mondays, which I love because I think Mondays get honestly such a bad rap, but they're one of my favorite days. I don't know, fresh canvas, it's a bunch of new opportunities ahead. We've had time to recharge and refocus on what matters. And last, anyway, if you missed the last episode, you must go back and listen. Truly, my dear friend Megan Holland came on the show and I personally learned so much. I just really love having conversations with her, which is why I wanted you guys to just hear her heart and her wisdom. She's a very consistent friend in my life, and she always challenges me and asks me hard questions and listens without judgment. And I just think that episode will really encourage you and meet you where you are. And really, so if you've not listened, please, please, please make a point to go back and listen to that. I think it will definitely encourage you. And we really went into the deep end and talked about some stuff that it's not always easy to talk about. So today, what are we talking about today? Well, we are jumping back on the focused devotional train, okay, and finishing up those words that we have been walking through since the Let's Be Clear podcast started. If you have no earthly idea what I'm referencing, you can go back and look at all the other episodes. Each one walks through a word, and we do a deep dive into what Jesus really says about that word. So it's really just kind of like breaking it down, right? Kind of looking, I always say like crystallizing the word, like putting it in the light and seeing it from all angles, and then really deep diving into like, what does scripture say about the word and what does it really, really mean? Because I think if Jesus can give us, if he is our dictionary, right? If the word is what sets how we view other words, then we'll be protected to not wrongly interpret it. So anyway, the last one we did was intentional. And so now we are on surrender. And I was thinking about this word surrender. You know, I mean, I think words are important and they automatically give you like a feel when you hear them. And I don't love the connotation that's given to the word surrender. Like, I feel like it sounds like you're giving up something that you should have fought for and now you're left here. But in reality, in the kingdom of God, and as we'll see as we walk through this podcast, is that surrender is the only pathway to victory. And I would be so strong as to say this, is that surrender is the only pathway to victory, and it is the strongest thing that you can do for God. So what is surrender? Like, how do we know that we have surrendered, and what happens if we don't? Is it possible to partially surrender? You know, when I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and she said this comment, and I don't, it won't be verbatim, but it was something like this. She said, I think I'm having a hard realization that I have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And I don't necessarily want to get uncomfortable enough to change that. And to be honest, I think a lot of us are here. I think a lot of us are in that spot. And I think that's why this term surrender, it feels almost invasive in a way, you know, because we know that we aren't fully surrendered. So what does it mean to surrender? Well, Jesus talks about this and he defines it in Luke 9 as this. It says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, it's important, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And then again in Philippians 3, 7 through 9, which surrenders all throughout scripture, of course, because it's literally the essence of Christianity is surrendering our will for the Lord's. But I really love what Philippians says. It says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right in himself depends on faith. Right with himself depends on faith. So what do these verses reveal? Like, let's break it down, okay? Because I know that you might have heard some of those, but what does that really mean about this word surrender? Well, Luke says you must give up your own way. So obviously, surrender requires a release of your plans and your expectations. And then it says to take up your cross daily. And taking up your cross means literally dying to yourself. So dying to how you thought this was going to go down, how you thought this should go down, the picture that you had in your head, the one that you have really, you know, that you kind of subconsciously become married to without even realizing it, to lay that down and do it daily. And that word daily is important because I think Jesus knew, look, you're going to keep picking this back up and it's going to weigh you down. And it's going to combat your ability to see my awareness or be aware of what I'm doing and trust me and trust my plan. And so I need you to take up your cross and I need you to do it daily. And then Philippians goes on to talk about, it says, and these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. So surrender changes your value system and therefore it shifts your priorities because ultimately what determines what you prioritize? It's what you value, right? It's those are synonymous. So he's saying, hey, look, surrender is all about changing your value system. And when that happens, you inherently prioritize your time and your energy and your resources differently. A life surrendered lives by this truth. Nothing is more valuable than knowing Jesus. And then it goes on to say, I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. So surrender is the realization that striving will never, okay, this is going to be good. It's going to be good. I just got this. Striving will never accomplish what grace already has. I'm going to say that again. Surrender is the realization that striving will never accomplish what grace already has. Y'all, so from these scriptures, we get a really good picture of like what surrender is, right? It is the daily letting go when we culminate it all together. It's the daily letting go of our own expectations and plans and dying to ourselves as we learn to value what is eternal over what is not. And it is here that we become fertile ground to partner with God, right? When you surrender and release your own expectations and plans, you become available to take part in his. Surrender is the decision to trust more in his character than in your false sense of control. And I mean, honestly, total side note, but very relevant. This podcast comes in a very timely manner for me. We are walking through just some decisions with Sledge and just different things and work and my schedule. And I find myself at this point where I know the Lord is like clear, your faith is seen in your flexibility. And I know that surrender is the only way that I'm going to be victorious and that I'm going to, lead Sledge in the right way and love Will in the right way and be present for my friends in the right way and all of those things. But it's so hard. It's so much easier. And then when it's something you really care about, it feels almost irresponsible sometimes, or you don't quite like surrender can feel passive, but it's actually the most action-oriented thing you will do. It is such a commitment to a posture of trust. And it's hard. It is hard. So let me just say that thinking about this podcast, to kind of walking through just some of these points and looking up these scriptures, man, it was so needed for where I'm at. And I'm really grateful for it because I don't think that we could be reminded enough to surrender because our pride just always wants to pick things back up. So anyway, going back to what my friend and I were talking about at the beginning about, you know, having one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, which sounds like maybe dramatic, but I think that's what a lot of us do without realizing it. So I'm going to ask you some questions that I think will help you realize, like, am I operating really lukewarm in my life? And is my restlessness and my anxiety and my frustration, is it coming from that? And I don't realize it. So these are a few questions I was just thinking about. Are you currently nursing a stronghold or an addiction of any kind that consumes your thoughts or behaviors? Does your schedule determine your priorities, or do your priorities determine your schedule? Do you find yourself constantly in the position of thinking, I know I need to change things up, but once I get to the end of this season or this happens or whatever it is, do you fear what others think about you more than what God has already said about you? Who do you usually consult when making decisions or responding to life? And these are just a few, but I think this is very common because here's the thing that we get caught up in. You can engage in religious behaviors while still choosing how much of God's instruction you want to trust. However, when you're committed in relationship to Jesus, so that difference of religious behaviors and relationship, right? When you are committed to relationship to Jesus, surrender will be the only way to foster that intimacy, build that trust, and receive His peace. And that's the thing about surrender, is that it's pretty black and white, you know? And that's also the hard part, is I think a lot of us don't realize how much we like the world, how much we think we like the world, at least, how much we enjoy the pleasures that it promises. And that is the cost of surrender, is that your kingdom has to die in order for you to truly surrender to the Father's. And that doesn't mean that your fun and your adventure and your joy and your excitement dies with it. That means that it actually gets to come alive because you're no longer in the danger zone, right? That you get to truly walk in freedom when you surrender and you know that you're walking in alignment with His will. You know it's good and it's safe and it's true and it's holy. And so you really finally understand surrender is actually the ticket to freedom. Anyway, that could be a whole another podcast. But honestly, I would like to think that a lot of us are just good at this from the start, you know, as far as like surrendering, but it's a learned practice. And I think it's one you have to relearn and relearn and relearn and relearn again in new seasons and in transitions, and even like in success, because our pride and our stubbornness, it wants to take it back again. Or to be frank, just like I said, we like the things of the world too much. And I think a lot of times it takes us having to hit a wall where we have literally nowhere to go, or life is forcing us on our knees and we finally whisper, okay, Father, like, it's in your hands now, you know? But here's what I want to tell you, and here's what I'm telling my own soul and whispering to my own heart and reminding my own mind, is that the cost of surrender pales in comparison to the reward of intimacy. The cost of surrender pales in comparison to the reward of intimacy. So if it's what we know we need, if it's what is truly where life is found, how do we do it, right? Like, going back to that verse in Luke about what surrender means, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So in other words, in order to consider everything else worthless, we must learn, and this is it. This is the crucial point. It's the thing we like to scapegoat. It's the thing we like to like gloss over, but this is the point of it. We must learn the value of knowing Christ. So how do we know Jesus more? Right? How do we learn His heart? Well, there's a lot of ways. I'm just going to walk through a few of them, but of course, prayer, right? Like point blank, prayer is supernatural. And this means that it's not a formula, and God gets to do whatever He wants in, through, and for you when you pray. Prayer is the daily way to practice humility, which is a key ingredient to a surrendered life. It's conversation. It's, hey, Jesus, this is what I'm walking through. It's the back and forth. It's the remembrance of presence, which I think is everything, right? Like, when no matter where we are, we know he is with us and we're talking to him. It's literal conversation with Jesus. And the only way you will hand something deeply meaningful, the only way you will surrender something deeply meaningful to Jesus is if you trust that he knows what to do with it. And the only way that you will trust that he knows what to do with it is if you trust his heart. And the only way you're going to trust his heart is if you learn his heart, right? So prayer, time in the Word, like, if you don't know the God of the Bible, then you will not trust the God of the Bible. You will hear about it. You may have the language of faith, but you will not be able to operate in faith, right? Have you heard about the heart of the Good Shepherd, but not discovered it for yourself? Have you always heard someone's regurgitated version of the gospel or their interpretation, but you've never really sat in the Word or felt like God speaks to you? And y'all, that's when it becomes personal. Like, it is active. Time in the Word changes things. Community, there's power in witnessing a life surrendered to Jesus, right? When you see someone, like, y'all know what I'm saying. When you see someone who has been transformed by Jesus, someone who's had joy amidst hardship, someone who talks about the present instead of the life that they wish they had, somebody who just oozes, like, man, it's like that scripture in Acts 4:13 that says when Peter and John saw the beggar by the beautiful gate and the blind beggar, and he experienced healing. And they say, Acts 4:13 talks about it just as they were just ordinary men who, they were not trained in the scriptures. They were ordinary men, but they had been with Jesus. And that was the kicker, right? That was the kicker. And so being in community allows us to see people who have surrendered their life to Jesus and the results of that. And this testimony encourages you to surrender too. Taking risks, like being in need, walking through struggle, walking in faith. Like, until we are at that point where there's a chasm between what we have and what we need, we don't need faith, right? It's in the actual doing of surrendering that you will learn time and time and time again that you can surrender anything and everything, and it really is safe in the Father's hands. But it takes really operating like in courage and taking those risks. That's how we learn. That's how we get to really believe it. You know, that's the brass tacks. At the end of the day, it's like, that's when really rubber meets the road and we go, oh my gosh, Lord, you are trustworthy. Like, I really can give it all to you. And I was thinking about this. I always ask the Lord for like a visual because, I mean, y'all know this by now, I'm very visual, but also it just helps to be able to put like an illustration with a word, right? And I was kind of chuckling about how this visual reminded me of God and myself. So Sledge, poor guy, he's always my my illustration these days. But we were working on his walking upstairs, and he's pushing a walker, and he has this green Yeti. Y'all, I should upload the picture to stories. It's hilarious because it's literally like the size of his torso. It's huge. It's a kid's Yeti, but I'm saying he's small, you know, and his little skinny legs, like he's holding it, and he always takes it to the face. Like, he's so parched. But anyway, he is obsessed with it. And he kept getting thirsty, and we were working this walker, and he wanted to hold the Yeti himself. And he was, I mean, so frustrated. He was relentless about it, despite me explaining that it would be hard for him to go where he wants to go and how he wants to go there if he's holding this Yeti and trying to grip a walker. Well, about 8 tries later, right, and his frustration hitting, he kind of does this sound. We're trying to get him to make more sounds right now, but he just goes, ee, ee, and we call it like a sledge noise. And he handed me the Yeti, and I filled it with more fresh water. I brought some bottles of water upstairs. And anyway, he smiles. And then when he was walking back and forth, and he would stop, and then I would give him a sip. So he finally handed it to me. And what was so funny is, like, once he realized, wait, this is a good setup. Like, I can go where I want to go. My mom is going to provide what I need when I'm thirsty, and she'll be there right beside me. So I don't need to hold that. I can trust her to hold it, and I'll actually get fresh water. And it was like he wouldn't even take a step unless I was right there with his green Yeti smiling and going, "Hey, bud, I'm not going anywhere. Good job." And it was like that was such a comfort to him. But at first, he was so stubborn and so relentless about wanting to hold it himself. And I just thought, Lord, I'm so sorry. That looks so much like me right now, right? It's like we are afraid that if we don't hold the green Yeti, it won't be provided at the moments we need it. Or that the one with us, right, will let us go thirsty. But that is not true. And then sometimes I think about it and I'm like, Lord, I'm working so hard. I have beads of sweat going down my face. I have this green Yeti absolutely held so tight in my hands, and you're willing to hold it so that I can go at the pace that you have for me and really embrace what you have for me and not miss it and not be so focused on trying to hold and white knuckle this thing. And he's like, if you would just surrender it to me, we could really go somewhere, you know, which kind of brings me to the point of in order for you to get where you want to go at the pace you know God's called you to and exerting the energy he's given you for the assignment, you must release what's in your hands so that you can firmly grip the assignment, right? In order to really embrace that pace and exert the energy he's given you for where you are, you have to surrender what's in your hands. So, question, what happens when we don't surrender, right? That's kind of the other side of it. Like, let's flip it on its head. So, what happens when we don't surrender? Well, the longer, and I don't love this, but it's true, the longer that we hold on to what God has asked us to let go of, the greater chance we have of experiencing pain and missing what he longs to give us. And y'all, I think the enemy is relentless about the battle of surrender because he knows the immense blessings on the other side of it. Like he knows if I can just get them to, if I can convince them that they need to try and do it themselves, you go back to the garden, right? You think about Adam and Eve and how it was just all about role reversal. And he's like, if I can get them to fight for control, they'll never surrender and actually experience the freedom God has for them. And it's that little like mind trick that he tries to play. And like looking back, there was, you know, a stronghold I nursed for a really long time. And because of shame and in a podcast about surrender, you know, I couldn't miss briefly touching on shame, but shame is the enemy's favorite tactic to keep you from releasing something the Lord has already covered. Don't believe it for a moment, not for a moment, because surrender truly, and this is important, because surrender is about the Father's heart for you and not your performance for him, okay? Not your performance for him. You can release anything into his hands and trust that his righteousness has already covered you. Not that it's gonna like, it, I mean, literally covering like a blanket that has already, every single nook and cranny and corner that you are worried about, your Father has already covered. I don't know why, like, I think, and I think there's also just a matter of where, you know, shame, and I think I've talked about this in a podcast before, but shame is almost like a reverse pride, right? Where we are still self-consumed and we don't trust his grace enough to actually be a covering. And so we internalize, we go introspective, we try and fix it ourselves, we try and fix ourselves, and that's impossible, right? We have to have his covering. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." You see, pride trusts your ability to outrun his grace, but surrender believes that his grace is enough. Y'all, that's it. That is the crux of it. Pride trusts your ability to outrun his grace, but you can't, right? You can't. The cross was more than enough. Surrender believes his grace is enough. So what do we believe about this word surrender? Like when you break it down and when you think about it, like why are you not? What are you holding on to right now? Personalize it. What are you holding on to that you are scared to give to him? Why? Like, ask yourself some questions. Are you afraid? Do you feel like is he not trustworthy? Are you wondering if God is for you? Are you wondering if something's too hard for him? You know, I mentioned, you know, that this podcast was very relevant for me personally right now. And when I was working through it and wrestling with the Lord, I really had to come to terms with, you know, the fact that, like, I had to ask myself this question, which was really hard to answer. It wasn't hard to answer as far as, like, I knew my answer, but it was hard to say because I knew what I was saying about God when I answered it. But it's, do I fear not liking his definition of good? Do I fear not liking his definition of good? And yeah, a little bit. You know, I mean, I think all of us have these moments where we're like, but God, surely that's not going to be how this pans out, right? Like, what is this going to look like? And I think that what I'm really learning right now is, like, he's okay with us sorting this out. In fact, wrestling against our own definition of good and asking him for deeper trust of his will, that is literally what refinement is all about. If not that, what the heck are we doing with our lives, right? Like, he's so glad to answer those questions. He's so glad for us to wrestle with that because he wants total surrender, right? Controlled or compartmentalized surrender is to exclude certain areas of your life and have contingent trust. However, partial trust in the heart of the Father is honestly kind of no trust at all. You don't get to say, I trust this part of someone. You either trust them or you don't. Romans 6:13 says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. You know, when I just kind of wanted to close up with thinking, when I was thinking about this thought of surrender, I think we also, too, hear it so often, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, but sometimes I kind of go, like, I think I've surrendered that, but I'm honestly not really sure. Have I really given it to Jesus? Am I truly available for whatever he wants from me? You know, I still think about it here and there, or, you know, whatever it is. And I just want to say that's so normal. You know, I think sometimes it feels confusing to know if our surrender is authentic. And I think that's just like mercy that we keep coming back to his feet. And it's that process of sanctification and this continual surrender to Jesus. And much like things in our faith, like the longer we walk with Jesus and the more that we work on actually surrendering it all, the more authentic it will feel. You know, I think at first we're like, yeah, lay it down, and we're doing the like side eye, like I'm still looking at it, you know, I'm making sure it's good. But I think the foundation of surrender is trust. And trust requires intimacy and relationship. And trust requires time to pass and life to happen. Therefore, 1 + 1 = 2, right? The practice of surrender will continue to be a learned discipline as God shows you over and over and over again that he is faithful. So as we're closing up and as you're listening, maybe you're driving in the car, maybe you're doing a workout. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what your day looks like. I don't know what your week is held. I don't know what challenges you're facing. I don't know any of that, but I do know you're human. And I do know that you probably have maybe put some burdens back on your shoulders that don't belong there. Or maybe the Holy Spirit's like, hey, I really would love for you to actually trust me with this thing that you have yet to be honest with yourself about, be honest with other people about, or just believe that I really am capable of the healing and the mending and the holding and the handling and all of that, you know? So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's financial tension. Maybe it's a prayer. You feel like God isn't answering. Maybe it's your fear of man as you make decisions. Maybe it's your unrealistic expectations, right, that are crippling you. Maybe it's a stronghold. Maybe it's bitterness or offense or pride. and it's bleeding into the people around you. But whatever it is, what do you need to lay at his feet? Chances are when I'm asking this, something comes to your spirit. And I would say pay attention to that, because that is not by accident. I'm going to close up with the Monday prayer. So if you can, close your eyes. If you're driving, please don't. But I just want to close this out and speak some life over you and me and just talk to our Father. Okay. Hey, Jesus, thank you for the gift of another Monday. When I focus on you and your faithfulness, my steps feel lighter and my spirit feels expectant for what you will do in, through, and around me this week. Thank you for setting my gaze back on you. Will you remind me that there is nothing more powerful than a surrendered life? Show me how to release my own plans and expectations so that I can be fully present and available to yours. When I feel myself fighting for control or trying to determine an outcome, humble my spirit and reassure me that you are God. Your heart is trustworthy and your character is fail-proof in every situation. Train my spirit to surrender to your perfect will, even when it's hard. I want more of you and less of me. That is how I find joy and peace. Thank you for not getting mad at me when I pick up the very things you asked me to surrender. Help me to lay them down again and leave them there. I trust that your grace is sufficient and your covering, it is sure. Your definition of good is what I long to desire. Refine me, Father. This week, I give it all to you, my greatest desires and my biggest worries. Fully surrendered, nothing pales in comparison to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, I don't know if it's praying out loud, if it's saying those words, if it's just like calming our brains down long enough to speak life, but that just always, that blesses me as I read it. So I hope that met you where you're at. If this podcast encouraged you, would you mind leaving a review? I am bad at asking for those, but it's so helpful. And rating and reviewing it, it helps other people find it. It takes 30 seconds. You literally type in, let's be clear, on Apple Podcast or Spotify, and you scroll to the bottom where it says, leave a review, and voila, it's easy as that. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, that would be so, so, so appreciated, or sharing on your stories, or just texting to a friend. However it works for you, that is great. And make sure you're following along on Clearly Stated Instagram or Facebook or wherever you find best suits you. And we have some really exciting things coming up. So if you're not on our email list, heavily suggest that. I'll include all of these things in the notes of the podcast. But irregardless, y'all, I just am so grateful. This community, especially amidst just like weird economic stuff and life and the uncertainties and all of that, I'm just really grateful for you guys, and I'm thankful that you listen. And I just look forward to always talking through this. I feel like we're having coffee. So anyway, I love you guys. This blesses me. I hope it blessed you, and I hope you have the very best week.